There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are, everybody. And welcome to another of the Abiding Presence Live Radio Shows with your host, Jim Huckaday. And let's see, walk around, Jim, have another cup of coffee. You know, I'm trying to sober the poor guy up so he can do his radio show. See, folks, you just don't know the burdens I carry just to make this broadcast happen. But now we're just joking with you. Actually, he's eating a Reese's peanut butter cup courtesy of the Omaha women. Or I don't know their names, but what's their names? Yeah, okay. See? maybe we should stick with it. You're trying to sober up, because that would be better than just sitting over there with a mouthful of Reese's peanut butter cups with going,
Should have left it alone.
Yeah, you should have went with sobering up, Jim. See, folks, see the off the wall crazy stuff this guy does? Well, it's his show. I can't help it. Okay. Today's date, ladies and gentlemen, is the 5th of February, 2013, and it is exactly 8 o'clock and about 2.5 minutes after the hour, Central Standard Time. I want to thank you for logging on and listening to the live broadcast. Little housekeeping. We love emails, and we especially love text messages because they're on two big monitors plastered on the walls here in the barn. So just to get some things out of the way you instant text message the show is the first word of your message, like, I like the show, I'm listening, I have a question, I disagree with this or agree, or you just want to say hello and hear your name or your town on the radio, is this word, J-I-M-B-J. Doesn't need capitals, but you don't want to put a space between our names. It's just the six letters, J-I-M-B-J. That's the first word of your text message. Then there's no area code. It isn't even a regular phone number. It's just 69302 for texting. 69302. And the world's record for texts during Jim's show is 15. Last week we had 9. Now, emails. Let's give you the email address. All one word, no capitals. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. That's TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. So we've got emails and we got instant text messaging. Okay, let's get down to the business of grace. Tonight, Jim and I were having a really interesting discussion, and really the tragedy of it is that we always comment on how our conversations here in the barn are some of the best conversations that nobody hears. And we were short on time tonight, so in a 45-minute period, this might have been the most tragic of them all.
Yeah.
Because it was just really good. So what we're going to do is I don't like reruns on television. I don't like repeats. I enjoy live radio because it is live. We make mistakes. You know, Jim says crazy off-the-wall things every week that make no sense, and he just goes off on a tangent out in the middle of nowhere for whatever reason. And you know, I try to stay grounded, and I try to keep him focused as best I can. And
So we're going to cover it, and things are going to come out, and feelings and thoughts. And what's interesting about this is that every once in a while, I say something, and sometimes it takes weeks, months, or even a year, because the show is about 16, 18 months old, right?
Yes.
And Jim had one of those, I hate to use this word, but had one of those revelations and epiphany tonight before the show. And I say a lot of things on the show, and Jim backs them up with scripture, and tonight he found scripture that he hadn't found before. But I have a question for you, because I know you like questions, and you like to really think about what you're doing. And that's the question tonight. What are you doing? What are you doing, and why are you doing it? And what I'm talking about is Christ. What's your real motivation? Is your motivation to save money on medical co-payments and prescriptions at Walgreens and Walmart? Is that your motivation to have a relationship with God? What are you doing? Are you doing this to have a relationship with God because everybody else is, and you've just found this to be the best way? Or what is your motivation? Is it because that you have this indescribable emptiness deep inside you, and you know that there has to be something more to life and something more to you, something that defines you more than just that it's almost time for income tax and the school year is half over, and next year you get one more week of sick leave or vacation at your job? What are you doing, and why are you doing it? And here's the thing that makes these questions so serious. Nobody, not Jim, not I, not the man in the moon, and more importantly, neither can Christ. Because it's what you find valuable, what you think is important, what is truly tangible to you, and how important is it? Because now we're back to a very interesting phrase. All your sins are forgiven. Because if you've listened to this show with any regularity, and if you have, thank you very much for that. Right, Jim?
Yes.
We're very appreciative of that.
Yeah, all the time.
But what Jim and I have come to really like to say is that it isn't that all your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
It's what, Jim?
All your bad choices.
That's right. All your bad choices. Because we've talked about this over the last couple of shows. Where does sin come from? What is a choice? Because everything starts off with a feeling. And then a feeling turns into a thought. And a thought turns into an action. And that action gets a reaction. So see, there's a recipe here. So that's why all sins are forgiven. Well, that leaves out the entire recipe. But if you go right to the heart of the matter, choices, all your choices are forgiven, then what you're really saying is that you have a thought to steal, cheat, lie, adultery, to hurt someone, to hurt their business, to hurt their animals, their children, I don't know, whatever it may be. You have these thoughts, but yet God has given you the power, and Jesus has paid with his blood to say, you know what? I'm not going to be this person. I'm not going to have these feelings, and I'm not going to let these feelings turn into thoughts, and I'm certainly not going to let these thoughts turn into actions, because I know that these actions turn into reactions that are sin, that are of the world, that are of the flesh, and that are negative energy.
Very good.
Are you ever going to say anything tonight?
I'm enjoying what you're doing. No, that's very good, and for everyone out there, thanks again for being with us. It's going to be a really good night. Let's take some of these thoughts that have been presented to us already. And I've got a couple of scriptures that I want to back up some of that with. But just helping you to see how important it is to make a connection with God by beginning to acknowledge God, by recognizing Him, by allowing Him or including Him in everything that you do. Because the prescription, obviously, for making good choices would have to do with being excited about your relationship with the Lord. Being excited about experiencing God. Knowing that His influence is everywhere and you're beginning to recognize it. Those are the things that actually give you energy to experience more of God. Because when we come over to the book of James, I think this is interesting. It goes right along with what BJ opened up with. It talks about, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, James chapter 1, verse 12, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin or to wrong choices. And wrong choices made over and over again, which is the same thing as saying, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So look at the prescription there. You see the trail, and that trail is the same thing BJ got to talking about. The desires are the feelings. And the when it says here, let me go back to it. You're drawn away by your own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived, conceived means it has to do with your thoughts and your actions. And then what does it say? It says that sin begins to bring forth death. Well, think about this. In the Garden of Eden, didn't God tell Adam, in the day that you sin, or in the day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely die? He didn't physically die. It was a separation from this most wonderful connection with God. And this is the reason why it's so exciting to see God everywhere, to see Him literally move in your life in ways that He has been moving, but you've not recognized before. The excitement of your life is really what causes you to want to see God more. Where God isn't somebody that just fits the prescription of when I need Him, when I need someone to bail me out, but God is someone that you literally begin to become addicted to. You want Him everywhere.
I think that it's really unfair, and I think that it's really, I don't know, it's not like some Sunday night made-for-TV movie government conspiracy, everybody's out to get you kind of thing, but it kind of makes you wonder. I think it's really unfair of organized religion and buildings and churches to take Scripture and turn it into doctrine. And to make people think that the hand of God, God's love, God's will, God's grace, well, however you want to phrase it, I don't know, and I don't really care. It's up to you. Well, however you want to refer to it as, that it's about serious 911 emergencies. Because if you really look at that book, and you look at Scripture and you literally take it absolute and at face value, and you don't try to twist it or manipulate
it. Right.
You don't try to change it to fit something or to rationalize or to justify your thoughts or your feelings or actions or reactions. If you just take it at face value, the overwhelming majority about God's love is that it is so present in your life that you don't have any thoughts or feelings that can be considered counterproductive or negative. You don't have bad choices because you don't know that there's something bad to choose.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't know what a pair of scissors is and you see them, you're not going to run with them. You may pick up and look at them, but if you don't know what they are and you don't know what they do, you're not going to run with scissors. Because you don't look at them anything other than an inanimate object that serves you no good.
Good.
Well, that's what grace does. People think that grace is going to heal broken bones and take inflammation out of your joints and you don't need a hip replacement, and you can take your glasses off. Does grace do those things? Yes. And if it isn't doing them for you, then you've got a problem. But what's more important about grace is that those things aren't even supposed to be on the radar.
That's good.
They're not even supposed... You're supposed to be in another entire world called the spirit world.
Yeah, that's right.
You're supposed to be a Christian. Because you don't need a spare tire if your car doesn't need tires to roll.
That's right.
And I don't know how else to put it. You know, we've talked about, you know, the way people, you know, view me and the questions they ask you and stuff, you know.
Right, right.
You know, and we'll get into that in the show. But,
sure.
Just to let you know, we've got instant text messaging. It's working. I just tried it. The first word of your message needs to be Jim BJ, J-I-M-B-J. I'm listening here, I'm listening there. We haven't heard from any of the regulars.
We will. We'll hear from...
Not from Alabama or Texas or the kitchen counter couple from Minnesota. And then you just send it to 69302, just a five-digit number, 69302. Remember, emails, we've got a couple emails that have come in, and... the way you get to those is through the abidingpresence@gmail.com. Got one 4 minutes ago. It says, on motivation, I tasted God a little, and he is good. Now I need more of him. Guess who that's from? I'm going to call her Pajama Girl.
Oh, that's...
Marina.
Yeah, Marina.
The reason we call her Pajama Girl is we don't know her or anything. I've seen it. She sent me a picture of her with a dog, which was nice. Nice dog. It was a yellow lab, and Ranger's a chocolate lab here at Lena Studio. But Marina is a college student who lives in England.
Yes.
Going to school in London or in England. And she literally sets an alarm clock because it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday morning.
Yeah, that's good.
In England. And so we call her Pajama Girl. She says hi.
Did she say where in England she's from?
You know, she did a long time ago, and I don't remember, so it'd be easier if she said where that I looked it up. But she even said the country she's from.
Because I'm working on meetings in June and July, one going to Manchester and the other going to London.
Really?
So, yeah, so I may be out there where she could actually come to a meeting.
Now, I know where Manchester is because, as you well know, I love to watch boxing on satellite television,
right?
Showtime, HBO. And there was a little boxer from Manchester that kind of, well, he lost the wind in his sails. But for a while there, he was a pretty good puncher.
Hey, do you remember us talking about this, BJ? I think this is good because tonight, really, we're going to be talking about different perspectives because this is one of the actually, I'm having a lot of fun with this as I go from church to church and from meeting to meeting, just having people really their eyes open to a different way of hearing something. That really gets right down to where they live, where they can make, really, I think the thing that everybody's excited about is, they're excited about how that everything is small, simple decisions that are made where you get to experience God. People that would say to you, you know, I'm not really experiencing him, and I'm just waiting for something big to happen. And then they realize they can have 100 small things. Within moments, minutes, hours, days.
It's like holding your breath and you're waiting for someone to bring you oxygen and all you have to do is
breathe.
Yeah, is open up your mouth. Hey, we got an email here 2 minutes ago that I got to ask you about. I'm just dying.
Okay.
Okay, it says, I won't be listening to the live broadcast for the next 4 weeks due to preparing for, and this is where I don't understand. Maybe you do. Maybe this is some religious thing or something. It says, I won't be listening to the live broadcast for the next 4 weeks due to preparing for an accreditation interview. Grace is with me as I accomplish this career goal 15 years in the making. Be blessed on these broadcasts. And this is from Devin in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. Yeah, Devin's been really good to comment about the shows.
Devin has sent text messages and emails from Georgia, but do you know what he's talking about, an accreditation?
No, I don't. Accreditation.
I mean, I know what that word means. It means that you're going to be certified to do something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it has anything to do with something spiritual.
I don't know. You know what, Devin? I'm curious. Tell me what you're going to get an accreditation in. Okay. Maybe I can save you some time and effort and just... What? Just
mail you one.
Yeah, why not? Hey, I just went to the feed store. I got a whole stack of empty feed bags. I'll take my pocket knife, cut out a nice little thing. I'll even take some of the boards from the chicken coop, make a little frame for it, and I'll write Devin, you're aces. You got your accreditation.
Whatever you need.
Oh, guess what? Listening from Town Creek, Alabama.
Good.
Says, thanks for the show.
In fact, I'm going to Alabama.
Our first text message.
This next week. Hey, remember this, BJ, we talked about, and this is really good. Folks, think about these three things that I'm going to give you here that has to do with, for the most part, people's idea of Christianity and what they worship. Number one is doctrine. And when we say doctrine versus scriptures, let us just... You know, you may want to get nitpicky with us and just say, I don't know if I like that. But just hold on for a second. Just listen. The difference between doctrine and scriptures, and BJ, you may want to say something here too, has to do with whether or not you're taking the scriptures at face value and allowing them to be absolute, where you actually accept them as they are, or whether you take things from the Bible and begin to twist them to help accommodate whatever you're not experiencing or would like to experience. And it takes the pressure off you because there's no responsibility for it.
Where in the name of Grandma's gravy did you get that? What crackpot did you get that from?
Well, these are things we've talked about right here.
Well, that means I don't remember that. Did I say that stuff?
I said it a lot better. Let's just say it that way.
Really?
I expounded on a little bit, but yeah, these are things that we talked about.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So,
you know what?
What?
You just screwed yourself out of peanut butter cups, buddy. I'm going to sit over here for the next hour and a half,
and I'm going to
pack myself full of Kit Kats and peanut butter cups from those women in Omaha, Nebraska, and you know what? You're not getting jack.
But you know what's a nice thing? Is that when I brought you the bag, I'd only taken about three out, and it was a huge bag. So
yeah, whatever. I don't believe you anymore.
I did really bless you.
Who knows? Hey, we just got a... Here's a question for you on the text message. It says, Jim, where are you going in Alabama and when?
It'll be Saturday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night. And while BJ's talking, I'll have to look it up on my website. I don't remember the town. I've never been there before.
You mean this next week?
Yeah, this Saturday and Sunday.
You're talking about the 9th and 10th of February?
Correct, yes.
That's this coming weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going there. I'm going to look it up for you.
Marina just said that she lives right outside of London, and she says that she can't wait for you to come there and speak.
Yeah, we're working on some arrangements right now. Trust they work.
Don't get your hopes up. It ain't that big of a deal.
Hey, while I'm looking this up...
Yeah, I'm going to read some emails.
Okay, good.
Okay, we've got some emails that came in. Where are they? I'm looking for them. Here they are. Okay, this email came in about 4 days ago, and it says, Hi, Jim and BJ. My name is Julianne, and I am from Mariposa, California. My husband, Bill, and I want to thank you for taking the time to do this show. We haven't been able to listen live as of yet, but are enjoying your shows immensely. Finding your show has been perfect timing for us because we have been moving towards seeing and walking in all grace for some time now. Like you, Jim, we have been saved from the time we were both five and grew up in the building, but always knowing there is so much more to the finished work of Christ. God is so awesome in His great love for us, and His grace truly does surround us like a shield. Thank you for the Seeing Grace in the Little Things homework assignment, BJ. Wow. Overwhelming in a good way. Thank you, guys. Have an awesome rest of the week, and may your show prosper beyond all you ever could imagine. And
that's
this
nice.
Is from Julianne in Mariposa. And let's see. I got another one here I'm going to read, and this one is about 2 hours ago. It says, Hey, guys. You think he means us, not like God Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and grace, right?
Right.
He says, Hey, guys, just wanted to say I love the show. Don't stop. I live in Morgantown, West Virginia. Do you know where that is? Morgantown, West Virginia?
Well, it's got to be close to...
Did you just come from West Virginia?
I came from Logan, West Virginia.
You were in Logan, West Virginia?
Yes.
I live in Morganstown, West Virginia. It's bound by tradition. Hearing Mr. He calls you Mr. Huckaday. He doesn't deserve that. You don't need to do that. It's bound by tradition.
I appreciate the respect, actually. That's nice.
You're not getting any respect here at the ranch. That's obvious. Hearing Mr. Huckaday was a breath of fresh air in Kentucky. I'm like a kid in a candy store. Can't wait for the next message. And then the last email I have here is about an hour ago. And this one is kind of interesting. It says, hello to the show. This email is for Jim. Jim, I was wondering if you could help me figure out what my problem is. I stopped taking my medicine 2 weeks ago, and I still feel these symptoms. I thank Grace every time I see it, and I don't sleep around. I don't drink. I don't smoke. What could be my problem? The medicine is for high blood pressure to keep the heart from going wacko. I'm only 29. Can you pray for me at the end of the show that God would touch me in this area once and for all? And
what's the name?
Well,
oh, did they say not to use the name?
They didn't say not to use the name, but they didn't say to use the name.
Okay, let's not.
That's why I didn't, because the name's on the email address, but they didn't put their name in the email itself.
Right.
And whenever somebody doesn't put their name in the email for me to read, I don't say it, because I don't want to. I mean, this is radio. I mean, you say it, it's gone. And I try to tell you that so you don't say ridiculous things, but that doesn't help.
I'm going to comment about that for a second, and then you can comment about my comment. as far as, you know, taking the medicine and not taking it, and then the symptoms that you're feeling, first of all, you know, we're not asking somebody just to all of a sudden stop taking something just to do it. Really, the heart has a conviction that you're a spirit being. And as a spirit being, there can't be anything wrong. And once that conviction is there, you really cease to look at anything as evidence. And it's almost as though by not being caught up with your flesh, it really does give Grace every reason to cause everything in your flesh to be exactly as it really is, whole and healed and well. And that would be my comment about that, is your conviction is you're a spirit being and not a fleshly being. And that's why you wouldn't even be looking at whether or not there'd be high blood pressure. You wouldn't be taking your blood pressure. You wouldn't even be caring.
I wasn't sure. I thought maybe you were just taking a dramatic pause.
That's very funny.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Tip your waitresses generously. This is how I look at this person now.
Right.
We don't know this person.
Correct.
As far as I know, I'd have to look, and I'm not going to because it doesn't matter. But as far as I know, this is the first and only email that this person's ever contacted the show. Okay. Now, this is what my comment is. Many, many times on the show, I mean, we've had homework assignments, like little activities during the show, like a stand up, sit down, and then try to sit, you know, just halfway in the chair, go to the doorway in the room you're in and put one foot in and one foot out.
Right.
You're kind of, it's like the old teeter-totter, the seesaw. One person's up, the next person's down, and you go back and forth. That's the impression I got from this person's email. Because they talk about how they know they shouldn't have to take their medication, and so they stopped. Well, that shows a connection to the spirit saying the flesh isn't going to drag me down. But then within a matter of two or three sentences, they're justifying how they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't sleep around, they don't know what's wrong, and they're talking about high blood pressure. That's where so many innocent people becomes victim of centuries of misinformation. Because instead of enjoying God's love, and instead of reveling in the wonderful feeling of grace, this woman is trying to diagnose a problem that she really doesn't have to begin with. You know, if she smoked two packs of cigarettes a day, drank a barrel full of beer, and committed bank robberies every other day, those are worldly, fleshly, poor choices. And a lot of her choices, she's having feelings that are leading to thoughts that are leading to actions. And those thoughts, feelings, and actions are, I have high blood pressure.
Right.
But then the door swings the other way. But I take good care of myself. I don't feel good, but I don't smoke. I think my best advice to this woman is, and I mean this with due diligence and respect, she needs to like take a break. And she has to decide, is she a human being with issues?
Right.
Or is she a spirit being that could really care less?
Right.
Because if she decides to be a spirit being and she could care less, then she can get out of the way and let grace do what grace is wanting to do.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's like that.
All the things that you do to try to get in the way, or all the things that you do to try to merit something from God, are the things that actually remind you all the time about your problem.
We got a text message here. It says, first time listening live.
Good.
It says, this is Peggy and Elaine. We've been listening for a couple months on other days and like the show, except for all the... It just says J. You know what I bet that is? Jokes.
Oh, really?
The text message is so long that it cut off the last part of the last sentence. It says, first time listening live. This is Peggy and Elaine. We've been listening for a couple months on other days and like the show, except for all the, and then it's just a small J, not a capital J.
Okay.
It's got to be jokes.
We'll get the rest of it.
I don't know. I wish they would send an email or tell us. I mean, do you think we joke around too much? Do we have too much fun?
Well, you know, I kind of love to have fun. So, hey, you know what I've got here?
Oh, it's jokes about candy.
Oh. Well, candy's a big part of the ranch.
Candy's a big part of life.
Yeah.
Do we joke about candy? I guess we do, don't we? I never thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I care. I think what I'm going to do is I want to welcome Peggy and Elaine to the show. And I think I'm going to celebrate them listening live by having a small little Halloween-sized Kit Kat candy bar.
There you go.
Oh, they just said, don't feel like this is good. Oh, don't feel like this is good for your body. Well, I got news for you, Peggy and Elaine. If you're worried about candy not being good for your body, you're missing the point of being a spirit being. Because the whole point about being a spirit being is your body doesn't come into the equation.
Yeah.
Because even the Bible, the book says, are you flesh or are you spirit? We're made in God's image. That means we're spirit beings. What do you think?
I think it's
was
good.
Was I tough on him?
Well, no. You just answered a question. It's fine. Hey, I'm going to be in Loxley, Alabama.
Really?
Now, I don't know where Loxley is, actually. So I don't know if it's... Alabama's a state that's pretty much going north and south. It's kind of a long state. So I'm not real sure where Loxley is. Maybe someone can look it up, or someone that's in Alabama can let us know. But I'll be there on the 9th. And doing a meeting that evening at 6 o'clock at Loxley Church of God. And then Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. At the same church, Pastor Herman Knapp. So we're going to have a really good time. Hey, you know, just as a means of saying hello to all of those that were in Logan, West Virginia, Pastor Josh and Consuela. Van Hook just had a great, great time there. The people there are wonderful, and I certainly can't wait to get back sometime. I want to finish this. BJ, I started something. I'm going to go ahead and finish it. I probably shouldn't have got into trying to say too much about it. I should have just given the 1, 2, 3 here. So, but as far as Christianity is concerned, a lot of people have this as a mentality. I thought this was really, really good, and that is, number one, They spin with their doctrine. Number two is their thoughts about religious or world history, which is their learned behavior, the way the world's going, or the way that religious circles are going. And number three is their to-do list with God. Now, that's something that we did at the ranch here and something that you shared. And I just thought that was really, really good, because if you think about it, it really fits the majority of people's concept of Christianity. And folks worship along those lines all the time.
They do.
But they really don't have anything to do with true Christianity.
No, it kind of almost goes to the what I like to call the Betty Crocker theory. You love to cook,
right?
You think that the Betty Crocker cookbook is the greatest thing in the world. You memorize every ingredient of every recipe, and somebody will say blueberry muffins, and you say page 42 under breads and cakes and cookies, and this is the order of the ingredients. And then somebody will say, well, what do they smell like? Well, what do you mean? What do they taste like? Have you ever burnt any, or how many can you make in an hour?
Right.
Well, they can't answer those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all about the book. My philosophy is that I think the book, full of Scripture, is a cheerleader, a roadmap, an owner's manual, a billboard, a television commercial, a middle-of-the-night infomercial. What do all those things have in common? They're trying to tell you why you need it and how good it is to get it.
Okay.
And I think that once you agree that Christianity is for you, and that once you feel that grace can do some positive things in your life, I think it's time to put that book on a coffee table and say, okay, God, let's play a game of Scrabble. Let's go garage selling. Let's go to a flea market. Take Grace out for a spin.
Yeah, like a good friend of mine that has a wonderful time with the Holy Ghost and wonderful relationship. She started her time with the Lord by saying, Lord, do you want to go help me do laundry?
Yeah.
And that's exactly how she started. And here's a cool thought. I mean, I remember her coming to our home years ago, and Aaron and I had her in our home, and literally the atmosphere of our home changed by her just telling story after story about this amazing, but it's just a normal, it's just most people don't have it, but this amazing Holy Ghost come with me here, and Holy Ghost come with me here.
Yep.
And that's how she started, and literally everything about her life has to do with the Holy Spirit talking to her.
You know, when people come to the ranch, the first thing they do is they say, wow, I can feel God's presence. I feel grace.
Right.
And then they freak out when they say, what are you going to do? And I says, well, I got to scoop poop out of the horse stalls. I got to clean the barn. And they go, oh, they seem disappointed. Oh, don't worry about it. I go, Jesus loves to scoop poop. And they go, what? 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 You know, or I'll say, oh, God loves to bale hay. You know, Christ loves to build barbed wire fence. You know, the Holy Spirit loves to dig post holes. You know, I mean, I just come up with them all the time.
Right.
You know, and accidentally, I might intentionally, accidentally, you know, just want to freak somebody out. But then they start thinking about it and they go, you know, because they have these limits, these boundaries. Mm-hmm. They have this idea that you should be in a special place with special clothes, wearing your quote-unquote church shoes, and you should have a certain decorum, and that's part of the problem.
Right.
Because when the stuff hits the fan, it's a shame that you feel that you have to start calling everybody to have a prayer circle.
Right. Well,
we'll take this up with Jesus on Sunday. Why can't you take it up with Jesus now, where you are?
Yeah. Well, for years, you know, being in the circles of religious meetings, the way people respond in the midst of a group usually is very, very different from the way that they actually live their life all week long. And if you do your math, and we've talked about this before, but if you've got 720 hours in a week, or excuse me, in a month, and let's just say a couple hours a week, you're going to some type of a service. Well, that's only like, what, 8 hours a month? And if you do your math, you got 712 hours still
I
left.
Told you this a long time ago with a calculator.
It's very, very good when you think about what are you doing with your life and where's your time being spent.
I'm gonna do it right now real quick.
Okay.
What's the average time in a building? What is it, about 45 minutes or an hour?
No, let's just say an hour. Usually about an hour and a half. And you could just stretch it and go two.
Okay, so we got 120 times, how many times a week? Just once a week?
Well, for most people, once a week.
Okay, so we'll go times 52.
But the most religious ones, twice a week.
Okay, and we'll divide that by, if you go once a week to a building or a structure for 2 hours collectively, that adds up to 104 hours a year. Okay, now, this is what's really sad. This is what really gets mind-boggling. Because you take 365 times 24, and that's 8,760 hours in a year. Now, if you take, if you times 0.01, that mean it comes up to 8760. So what that means is that in a year's period, if you go somewhere to worship 2 hours a week religiously, and I'm really using the word correctly this time,
right?
And you go to a building or a structure every Sunday for a year, you are only trying and attempting to have a relationship with God for 2% of the year. Now, where does it say in Scripture that 2%?
Right.
Where's 50? Where's 60? Where's 70? No, it's all over in Scripture that says turn your back to everything but me. Well, that sounds like 100% to me. So that means that the average religious organization out there is literally missing God by 98%. They're 98% wrong. They're 98% missing out on grace because they're only really attempting 2%. And the overwhelming majority of that 2% isn't even effective.
Right. And you know,
this is very, there's got to be somebody that's just listening to this that just rocked them.
Yeah. And you need to hear this too. And that is, if you're practicing your Christianity, and by that I mean your connection with God, the time that you spend with God, when you go to a church, if you're a Christian going to a real church, here's the difference. When you go to a real church, you're doing the same thing you're doing every single other hour while you're by yourself. You're
That's
just
right.
doing it with people.
We had testimony. What's Fred call himself? Do you know?
A pastor.
Okay, we had real testimony from Fred the pastor. Fred the pastor in Germany. Fred the German pastor in Germany. With people that only speak German in his church. And the reason we know it's a church is because he said that he's got this problem. And his problem is that every Sunday they are getting together and he's been using what he's learned from listening to Jim talk. And he doesn't get to say anything except hello, welcome, thank you, and goodbye. Because everybody is standing up and saying what grace is doing in their lives. And all the wondrous things that are occurring to them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's great. That's the whole point of worship.
But that's life 24/7.
Because what are you going to do? What is your choices? Here's a choice, and this is a choice I look at. What would I rather do with somebody with someone else? Would I rather sit around and brag and worship the action of grace or sit around and worship for the hope of grace?
Right.
Which one of those sounds more Christian-like?
Right.
Someone just put, I love the candy jokes.
Oh, great.
See what you did? This is your fault.
About what?
Well, because Peggy and Elaine are concerned about my health and candy, and now you've got other people, you know.
Hey, they're enjoying it.
That's Jim, you have got to learn how to talk to people.
Hey, you know something that we've talked about before when you just made your comment? And that is, if you think about what we're saying here, think about it along these lines. You know, you can go to the practice range and you can hit golf balls left and right, but you know what? That's a different scenario than actually playing. I know you're exasperated with this, but I'm still going to just wear this out for a second. You can go to the range and you can hit balls, but the fun comes actually in playing golf. Or it's like anything else. You can read about Betty Crocker cookbooks. You can get all your ingredients. But the fun comes when you eat. And the same thing's true about Christianity. It's not just about all the scriptures you learn. It's about using them. You didn't like that I started with golf, did you?
I don't even
know. There's plenty of land in America.
I don't even know how you got dressed and drove to the ranch.
For golf
delusional.
Courses. There's plenty of.
Let me tell you something.
Fairway.
You know what the best part of golf is?
What's that?
Is watching a large four-wheel drive tractor with a disc and a plow putting down hay, corn, or soybeans where a golf course used to be. Now that is a good round of golf.
But usually that doesn't happen. Usually what happens is hay used to be, a golf course
gets
cut
down. We got an email here that I have to read.
All right, let's go.
It says, sending greetings to you and Jim, and a special greeting for my friend, Ranger.
Great.
It says, I'm always here listening and enjoying each show, which is a blessing, but I'm no good at texting. And it's signed, Kathy Huckaday.
I know, my mom.
Is that your mom?
Yeah.
Aren't you going to say hi, Mom?
Yeah. Hi, Mom. I'm glad you're listening. And
you're not going to say, you don't love your mom? You're going to say, I love you, Mom?
Well, I do love my mom.
Well, why didn't you say it?
Hi, Mom. I love you, and I'm glad
Well, it's a little late now because I had to, like, drag it out of you.
Oh, gee whiz.
Jeez.
You're a rare form tonight, aren't you?
No, I'm just a poor, innocent little cowboy trying to scratch out a living close to a big city. I'm just an innocent little guy.
Tulsa's not a real big city.
Horses.
Just let you
know. Hey, got an email here that says, just wanted to say hi from New Jersey and let you know I look forward to Tuesday night to listen to your program. And this is says, sincerely, Diana from New Jersey. You know, I'd like to make a suggestion to people that are texting and emailing the show, because I don't know why I feel like I made a mistake here. They call it, you know, they say Jim and BJ or your show or the guy's show. You know, I think if somebody listens to this show more than once and they're getting some kind of benefit from them, I think they should call it their show, our show, my show.
I like that.
I do. And
we don't care about any of that. That's great.
And so far tonight, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We've had 6 text messages. The way text messaging works is the first word of your message needs to be J-I-M-B-J. Jim B-J, no spaces, no capitals, just Jim B-J. Love the candy jokes. Jim B-J, don't feel like candy's good for your body. And then you send it to this 5-digit number, 69302. Also, email is just theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Hey. Pajama Girl Marina in London, she said she's enjoying Rice Krispie Squares right now as she listens to the show.
Well, we enjoy those too. Hey, I've got a question for you, BJ, and I think this will lead into some things we want to get to on the show tonight. And that is, and you're one that could answer this. If an individual was a bystander, in other words, by that I mean they just they haven't been around religious circles, they haven't read the Bible before, they've just kind of lived their life, and all of a sudden they've been given a Bible and they read it. Let's just say they read it from cover to cover, all right, for the sake of our example. If they were to read it from cover to cover, what would be their thought if they didn't have a religious thought about the Bible and about where it takes you? Because The Bible, ever since man lost his way in the garden, the Bible has then become, for every man, an opportunity to see other people experience God. What would your thought be, especially because you haven't been in religious circles all your life? If you read the Bible, how would you define it as far as from an outsider's point of view?
Well, I think some of the most interesting things of the Bible are like the books John, Luke, Mark, and Matthew.
Okay, the Gospels.
Because to me, those four books are like sticking four guys on four corners of a large intersection and slamming two cars together.
Mm-hmm.
And then handing each person a pen and a paper and say, what happened?
Right, their point of view.
Because their personal point of view is depends on which corner of that intersection they're on.
Right.
And I look at those four books, and that's what I see. I see four guys following Jesus around, you know, taking crayons and animal skins or whatever, and they're making notes because they're so close. I think it's interesting that there are some very inspirational, heartfelt writings in the Bible, and nobody even knows who wrote them. But the reason that they're in the Bible is because they fit so well.
Right.
And whoever wrote these obviously had a real nice relationship with grace.
Right. Right.
Now, and then you look at Revelations, and you look at Genesis. And then you really look at the high points, what I call the high points in Scripture. And all those things have one singular message, that there's a difference between being a human being and a spirit being.
Correct. Very good.
And that God doesn't grade on a curve, and you really need to realize how pointless and futile any day-to-day activities that you're involved in,
right,
that they're all literally just a distraction, a deterrent. It's like wearing sunglasses on a cloudy day out of a habit, because you don't drive and you don't leave the house without your sunglasses.
Right.
Well, you don't even know it's a cloudy day. You don't even know that the sun isn't going to hurt your eyes. Why? Because you always put your glasses on.
Okay.
That's how I look at it. Now, we've got an interesting text here. It says, I thought the Bible teaches to pray incessantly.
Pray without ceasing. It says, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all things. That's over in 1 Thessalonians.
But see, find that.
Okay.
Find that. And while he's finding that, I'm going to read this email that I got. It says, this came in about 12 minutes ago, to theabidingpresence@gmail.com. It says, listening to the email you just read, here's my question. What if a person has decided to be a spirit being, letting the spirit man rule? Why wouldn't a person who has done that see the results? ? Maybe they were expecting it instantly, but not moved if it wasn't instant. After 2 or 3 weeks, shouldn't they see and experience the results you are talking of in their physical body? ? I know you're thinking if they were being a spirit being, it wouldn't matter whether they were experiencing it or not. I know there are many out here in radio internet listening who want the answers to this question. The Word of God and Jesus Himself are absolute, as you say, and He never fails. What would you tell people of God to do to see the results you are speaking of? I like the points that this person makes, and thank you very much for this email. You didn't put your name in it, so I'm not going to mention your name. That's the point. That's the point that people have the hardest with. They think they're looking for a rock, but they're not. They're looking for a piece of sand. You know, it's like you feel like you've got a 20-pound rock in your shoe, and when you take your shoe off, you find out that it's a tiny little piece of lint. But yet, in your shoe, right, you felt like you were walking on a giant rock, and it was just a tiny little piece of lint. That's the difference between having grace and not having grace.
Yeah.
The point is that when you have grace, you don't have issues because grace makes sure that you aren't in a position to have issues. And if you're having issues, then that means you don't have grace. Now, here's a question I want to ask people. If all your prayers are answered, ask and you shall receive, and it was paid for and bought by the blood of Jesus, and it's a gift from God, and you don't have to earn it because you've earned it just because you're made in His image, what about any of these statements says that there's supposed to be a wait? That there's a gray area, that you're supposed to be on a fence, or that sit down, shut up, and take a number, and we'll call you. That's the problem. People don't access themselves to what they already have.
Right.
It's like, if you're breathing, okay, and I said, how many times are you breathing, inhaling and exhaling, in an hour? Well, somebody would look at me and they say, you're really a stupid person. Who cares? But yet, when are the only times that you really know how many breaths you're taking? When you have a chest cold, when the air is full of smoke, when there's the smell of a skunk, when there's something wrong with the quality of air, then you don't notice that you've been breathing all this time. You focus on the fact that the air really isn't fun to breathe. That's the problem. Because if you thank God for every breath, if you know that comes from God and it's a gift, and you can breathe anywhere, I promise you, you can go scuba diving without a tank.
I'm going to answer this question as well. I think
did I do all right with that?
I think it did great. And you'll hear my answer. I'll have some scripture with it. So it'll come across the same, but it'll come across different. You'll like it. Over here in Hebrews chapter 11, we talked a little bit about this earlier. I was bringing some thoughts up and asked BJ what he thought of some things here. Especially this past weekend, I was preaching some of this, and it just became very real over here about Enoch. And this is in Hebrews chapter 11, which is a great passage that's kind of like a summary to the whole Bible, where in Hebrews 11, we're hearing about different individuals that had wonderful relationships with God, where there was a great connection. And they defied all kinds of odds. They stepped out to do amazing spiritual things and literally had tremendous testimonies. Okay, well, here's Enoch. In the Message Bible, it says, by an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over, couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible, verse 6, to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Well, this is really, really good. In the King James, it says that Enoch pleased God, and if you were to please God, you would have to believe that God is, and he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. This is what I want to share in regard to the email that just came in about grace and wanting to be a spiritual being. The fact that God is, the fact that God exists, means he's there, he's everywhere, which says to you that if you're not experiencing him like you ought, like you know you can, like you desire to, then what you have to look at is not putting more energy in trying to find him, because he's there, he is, he exists. It means you have to literally look to the opposite, which is to say, where are my attentions? Where's my energy? What am I looking at? Where's my excitement? Where's my passions, my emotions? Because they must be somewhere else if God is everywhere and I'm not seeing him. Because the only thing that would keep you from running right into God, hello, we've got an experience, is that you're looking somewhere else. In fact, when it says you need to diligently seek him, that doesn't mean try hard to find him. What diligently seeking him means is be diligent about cutting yourself loose from the things that are distracting you or that have become so important in your life that your time with the Lord is limited. This is exactly how to let go of one so you can have the other.
Remember, folks, you can text the show instantly. The first word is J-I-M-B-J, no caps, no space. Jim BJ, I like the show. Jim BJ, don't eat candy, whatever, love candy. And then you send that to 69302, 69302. Emailing the show is easy. The Abiding Presence, all one word, lowercase, no caps, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. This email came in about 2 minutes ago. It says... his name is Ron. It says, Ron here. Really appreciate you guys. My wife and I were wondering. The doctor says the baby has a hole in the heart and wants to operate in a month. I've been practicing what you guys teach about for a couple of months or so. I'm expecting to not have surgery on the child. Wife is on the fence about plan B. Feel lost. Thoughts? Question mark. Also, it seems like sometimes you're all downplaying the word. Is that intentional? Question mark. Jim, I know you are a word minister. Isn't the word everything? Question mark. Jesus said it is written. Don't we have to? Question mark. How can we say it if we don't know it and know it well? The Abiding Presence is best show ever. Keep up the awesome work. Blessings. What Good. Does he mean? I don't know. Are you a word minister? What's a word minister mean?
Well, it just means someone who, well, let's just say this. It's meant a lot of things to a lot of people over the past. And what you would be saying is, I believe in the full counsel of the Word of God versus some that might pick out one part versus another. For instance, a denomination who would say, we believe in being saved, but we don't believe healing is for us anymore. We don't believe, you know, in the Holy Spirit being a vital part of your life.
So that's not word?
Right. That would be more like a denomination. So you've had in the last 40 years a word movement or people that are called word of faith or people that put a great emphasis upon the Bible. But let me just say in relationship to this email, here's one of the major problems. While we're putting so much emphasis on the Bible, we're developing a relationship with scriptures or with words that we can quote, but we've left off the true intent or conviction that goes along with a relationship with the guy that wrote the book.
Yeah, I think it's almost sounds like you're worshiping the recipes and you forgot that
exactly.
that you can cook with Betty Crocker.
Exactly. Right. Right.
I think the thing that I find kind of melancholy about this email, Jim, is that when he talks about for months, because I'm reading that to be for months they've been looking for grace, looking for something to occur that the doctor says the hole is gone or no surgery or,
right.
you know. Well, that's what I find kind of...
Right, but...
kind of despondent is because everything about grace is like before the words are out of your mouth.
Right.
That you don't even right. need words. That your tongue can be cut out and your eyes can be poked out with a sharp stick and you're going to see and feel grace when instantaneously.
Correct.
And that is backed up in Scripture. And so I think that, I don't know what I think.
Well, again, let me say this. Because I've been a part of what we would call Word of Faith circles now for some 20-some years, I certainly understand where he's coming from. But this is the part that, and the reason why our show is as it is to help people to begin to really experience God. Because there's a subtle deception in being able to quote the Scripture and yet have no results. And it's part of what we've said about what people call churches or what we've actually entitled buildings, places, religious meetings and religious services where people are quoting things and spending time in their what you would call their meditations or their confessions. And yet they still have no evidence of the things that they're speaking. So there has to be a conviction. And this is one of the reasons why we even said at the beginning, and you and I were just kind of messing with each other about the whole doctrine and the scripture thing, but that was a question that I actually brought up because I'm versed in some of the Greek words to know what something means as far as a definition, but I asked BJ the question, how do you define doctrine? How do you define scripture? And really, there's a wonderful thought there that doctrine has become for so many something that's used and twisted and manipulated to fit a person wherever they're at who doesn't want to admit that they're wrong. And I actually watched this for many years, individuals take their own inability to get a result and they would take a scripture and begin to manipulate it so it actually verified that they were okay.
Well, they have to, because if you're taking scripture and the dramas and the issues in your life and the places that you go to worship have no productivity in them, the only way that you can earthly, humanly justify without saying, boy, this is a total waste of my time,
right,
is to have a plan B and to rationalize and justify that, well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. We don't always understand God's plan.
Right.
But we're just supposed to worship Him, and we're all sinners, and we will get our rewards, you know, when we go to heaven, and we just need to, you know, God is good, God is great. Well, my goodness, what a defeatist attitude.
Right.
If I was God... And trust me, folks, be so grateful I'm not. But if I was God, that would break my heart. I would be really disappointed in people because I'd say, I'm here. My Son is here. Grace is here.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is. There's four of us that you're just blowing off till another time. You don't think you can have it now? Because it literally goes saying, you know what? Having my Son had the snot beat out of him, put on a fence post like a dead snake, thrown in a cave, sent to hell for 3 days, that's just not enough payment for you to have prayers answered. Because when you break it down, that's what their actions and their thoughts are saying. In this email here, it says, my friend and I had a discussion today about making confessions of faith. It said, we both came from a church background where we were taught that you have to continually speak the scriptures over your life, children, etc., in order to see God move in these areas. We have many pages of confessions from various ministries that we are encouraged to speak as much as possible. There are scriptures that support the value of words, but where does grace fit in here? There's no room for grace in this.
Sure.
No, it's like
empty containers.
You can't cook in your kitchen. Why? Because there's no room to walk around. The whole kitchen is full of pots, pans, dishes, dish towels, baking powder, all kinds of cake mixes, and there you can't cook because you're flooded with all the things that you use to cook.
Right. Well, look at what the energy says in order to take all this time to make confessions. Look at what it says. It says, we really don't believe any of these things we're confessing are real, that they've already been accomplished, and that we have everything Jesus says we have.
Right.
So we have to make all these confessions to try to get to a place where we feel like we have them or God is good enough to give them. It's literally backwards.
It is. And see, this is the hardest thing why I think so many people, Jim, that I think this is, you've said something that's more important than what maybe people have thought, and that is that it's backwards. They don't really understand how backwards things are.
Right.
Because quite frankly, until you know how backwards they are.
That's right.
How would you ever know?
Yeah, that's right.
To make a choice to go a different direction.
Yeah.
And people just don't see the magnitude of 2,000 years of distortion since Jesus was around.
Well, that negative learned behavior is very difficult, especially when it comes...
Well, 2013, right? That's AD,
sure.
After death.
Right. Especially when it comes down to something that's religious in the form of services where people are in front of you and you put your trust in them to bring words and sermons together that were going to change your life. And it's very difficult for someone to admit it's not working and something must be wrong. They'll say all day something's not working, but they won't say there's something wrong.
You know, when I was in college, I was on the debating team. I was on the
really?
Debating team. Yeah.
I would never guess that.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Because I'm basically shy.
Hmm.
Yeah. And you know, I really am not a, you know, public type person. And I try real hard to mind my own business and keep my thoughts to myself. And, well, everybody that listens to the show, they know this to be true. They know this. We debated, and it was my turn to come up with a topic to debate.
Uh-huh.
And this was my topic. I said, I believe that the pyramids are a joke, that it's all wrong. And then I had to say the basis for that position. And this is what I said. I believe the pyramids have been around for thousands and thousands of years. But have you ever tried to bury something in the desert of sand? The sand is always moving like water. It's transient. You bury something today, a month from now, when the wind is right in the sandstorm, the sand will just pick it right back up. I said, I have this theory that when somebody important died, they were such a schmuck and they were so arrogant that they wanted to make sure that they couldn't be ever come out of the sand. So instead of burying them in the sand, they buried them in a pyramid. And they put all their possessions and all their slaves because they just wanted to erase the memory of everybody. That's why they never planned on anybody getting into them. And it was basically a sign that says, look, if you're rich and you're not very nice, this is how we're going to bury you. We're going to bury you in a pyramid to show the rest of eternity what a big schmuck you were. And, you know, of course, people thought that that was a little different perspective.
Right.
But, and the whole point of this is this. It's 2013 AD, after the death of Jesus. How does someone think that in 2,000 years of misinformation and financial agendas, control agendas, more wars have been fought over religious doctrine than money or land or slaves?
Right, right.
How can someone not question the fact that possibly, at face value, on a very large, broad stroke, I'll grant you that, Jim, that the message of Christ is distorted? And people say, no, no, no. And I'll say, yes, yes, yes. And they go, why? And I says, because if you go into a religious organization or you just ask somebody and say, how many prayers you had answered today? What's grace done for you today? What grace do for you yesterday? What's going to grace do for you tomorrow? I says, you get the dog look. You know, it's like when I say a word that
right.
Ranger doesn't
right.
know, she kind of tilts her head. And I says, if somebody gives you the dog look when you ask them what's grace done for you lately, that's the test results of not having a connection with God.
Right, right. Yeah, that's really good. And that's the reason why I said a few moments ago, if you'll remember, folks, I don't remember in the broadcast time-wise where it was, but probably about a half an hour ago when I was talking about Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 5 and 6 with Enoch, and how that it says that he believed that God is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I shared that thought with you, how backwards it is for you to think that you have to seek after God. If God is, then he is. And you should be experiencing him because he is. So what you're not experiencing says you must be looking somewhere else, which really shows you what Enoch did. It means Enoch just eliminated everything that could have been a hindrance and alone went out there and found what is, because he is. And you say, well, I don't know if I can understand that. Well, certainly this is the reason why we're on this show, to present a side of the mountain that shows how we've been putting energy in places that it needs not be put. Just like the individuals that may be saying, well, shouldn't we be quoting the word and speaking it and speaking it? Listen, there's nothing wrong with quoting the word and speaking it. But when the end of the day comes, how did it work for you? What did it prove for you? What did it prove out for you to experience? And if the answer is, I haven't experienced anything, then you can see that the words that you're speaking don't have any conviction. You know, we've used this phrase before, and it's a real good phrase, especially for country folks, when you say there's no dog in the hunt. It just means you've not stepped across the line to put yourself in a position where you're going to go over or go under. And that's what faith is. Faith is betting your life on the unseen realities of God.
I know that people like, I don't know anything about playing cards. I don't play cards. But one of the things, you know, people say, you're not all in. You know, I guess when you just, it's, you bet everything.
Right, bet the farm.
Yeah, you're not all in.
Right.
You know, they all go to the same thing, and that is that there's no commitment, there's no conviction.
Right, right.
It's like somebody saying, "Well, I want you to invest," and you say, "Well, I've got $1,000, but well, I can afford to lose $200." Well, that shows they don't have a lot of faith in your ability
right.
to succeed.
They don't believe it's actually going to happen.
It's more of a gamble.
Right.
And this is just a very polite conversation about Plan B.
Right. There's no gamble in the Lord.
You know,
there's no risk at all.
I wish I would have brought this up a couple of shows ago when we were talking about Plan B. And that was this. A lot of people will stop hurting. They'll stop limping. The swelling will go away. They'll feel better. They'll breathe better. Whatever it is. It breaks my heart when they go get that last MRI. That last x-ray, that last doctor's appointment, because what they really are
right.
wanting is they want that doctor to say, it's a miracle. What happened? We were going to do surgery. There's no reason for surgery. Well, I don't know about anybody else listening to the show, but I'm not really a big fan of hospitals and doctors. It's no different than if you have somebody in your home and they get out of bed and you tell them, you say, well, you better dress warm because it's raining, it's snowing, it's going to be a blustery winter's day, so you better dress warm. The first thing they do is they turn on the weather report and then they go stand outside. You would feel slighted. Because you'd say, why did you listen to the weather? Why did you have to go outside? Did you not believe me when I told you you should dress warm? You didn't have enough faith in me, enough trust in me that I was giving you the straight information?
Right.
Now, this has happened to everybody on some level.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. It's hot.
Right.
Don't talk to that person. They're a liar. Don't go to that restaurant. The food is bad. Don't use that mechanic. It's a terrible movie. It's a terrible television show.
Right.
For some reason or another, it's like people just don't have the ability or the faith to trust what people tell them. They literally do things because they feel, well, at least I'm warmed, but I want to see for myself. They need validation. That is lack of commitment. That is lack of conviction. If you say, nope, God's healed me, I'm a spirit being, and everything is fine, and I can't wait to go to the doctors to see the x-rays that everything's fine. Because,
right.
like I said, everybody should be glad I'm not God, because if I was God, I'd say, you know what? Fine. You want to go to the doctor and you want to see an x-ray? Yeah, I'm going to take your leg and make your bone look like a pretzel. Because if you don't believe me, if you don't love me, if you're not committed to know that you're healed or that there's nothing wrong and you need some flesh in the world.
Right.
Just got a text message here. And it says, Jesus spoke to the fig tree one time and walked away. That should be our example. Do you know what that means?
Well, he's talking about those that are trying to make all these confessions over and over and over and over again with scriptures versus Jesus is more in the absolute sense. And that's exactly what we need to say is the difference is you're spinning around in circles with your confessions.
Oh, okay.
Versus accepting what you might call scriptures that's absolute.
Casey and Tracy, they just text message said they're listening.
Yeah, they're down in Mississippi.
You know them?
Yes. They're pastors.
They are?
Yep.
Both of them?
Yep. Husband and wife.
So I guess they're pasteurized? That's a bad joke, isn't it?
We'll see if they like it.
Probably not. Okay. I want to check for emails. Folks, there's still at least 15, 20 minutes to send an email, and you send those to all one word, no capitals, theabidingpresence.com. Instant text messaging works. You just put the word J-I-M-B-J, no caps, no space, just Jim B-J, Casey Tracy listening in Mississippi, that kind of a thing. And then you send it to a five-digit number, 69302. No area code, no one. It's just five numbers. 69302 is the number that you text the show.
Yeah, hey, I need to say hi to somebody because last week we were talking about, and somehow we mentioned that Erin, my wife, will listen to the show with one of her coworkers that she works with. And I was trying to remember the name, and I called her.
Everybody knows her name is Penny.
Well,
I can't believe you
got called her name Ruby.
I know. Penny, so, I just want to let you know that on last week's show, Penny, I held your name up on a piece of paper that said it's Penny, not Ruby. I admonished him after the show.
You know, we're going to have a lightning storm in this studio, and I'm going to get out because there's a lot of electronic things here.
I scooped manure today out of the barn.
Yeah, we know.
And I'm still shoveling it right now.
So Penny, I want to say hi and sorry about butchering your name. Erin will probably tell you that I don't do too well in
that
category.
You are so calling the pot black or the kettle green or whatever that. What's that saying? What do you say? Don't call the kettle. Don't call the pot black because the kettle will beat you up or something about. What's that saying?
Well, you twisted it so bad I can't even remember it.
You don't pay attention to See, folks, this is an okay. You said I said her name's Penny, and you said penny, nickel, dime, quarter, 50 cent, whatever. And I said her name is 50 Cent. Your wife is hanging out with a gangster rapper, 50 Cent.
Folks, listen. All you got to do is would my mind think that way? I don't think so.
Really? You know, that I am sure in other situations that might be a valid statement, that maybe that would have some type of credibility. Hmm. The fact that you get in an automobile and you drive to the country and that you have to drive onto the ranch and that you sit in this room every day for 18 months. You're going to hang your hat on that statement? You can't. That's like saying, I can't believe I'm getting wet. Well, quit going out in the rain without an umbrella.
Are you trying to make this correlate to you're rubbing off on me?
Got a text message here. It says, BJ, glad you're not God. And it says they're laughing in Minnesota. This is from Barb.
Hey, I've got a couple things here I want to bring out, and this is, again, bringing an important thought here. I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 2 just to use it, and then I'll probably go to Romans chapter 1 in case anybody's thinking about that.
And which one? Is this in, like, King James or the...
Yeah, the New King James Version in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, again, for the sake of absolutes, so much of the time what we do is we try to work so hard to understand an absolute. But what you need to do is you need to just accept it to be so and then ask the right question. For instance, listen to the statement. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This isn't something you need to meditate forever. This is something you need to accept as a pillar in the church. In other words, it's no longer us. It's not who we are anymore. It's Christ living in us. We are a spiritual being, and we are one or merged together by the Spirit of God with Jesus Christ. And that's an absolute. To accept it is then to say the last part of the verse, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The question is, when you hear that you're righteous, when you hear that you have been united together with Christ, when you know that you are saved, your question ought to be, what can I do with this? How
yes.
can I experience this? Not, I want to just keep on saying it over and over again, I'm righteous, I know I'm righteous, I know I'm righteous. No, you are.
Do you think I should bring up socks? Remember what I said before?
Please.
Socks?
Yes.
You sure?
Perfect time.
I didn't interrupt you?
No, it's good.
Okay.
Go.
I wonder about that sometimes, but then all the weird stuff you say, you should be interrupted. We got a text here. Guess who it's from?
Can't believe it.
The Kitchen Counter People.
Hey, good.
And it says, "Hi from Kitchen Counter People. Keep all the joking up. We love it."
Good. Somebody defend me, but go ahead with the socks.
Well, before we do, I don't want to be remiss. I want to make a special example right now while everybody's listening. Is I want to thank Ken and Lori in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Tonight was the final four
yes.
weeks of that check they sent that paid for the month or the 4 weeks of instant text messaging.
Yes, and we've been enjoying it too.
Yeah, because I really like instant text messages and emails. And I want to thank Ken and Lori because they sent a check, and that's what I used it for, was to pay for 30 days of text messaging. And I wanted to make sure that I said thank you, and it was very well appreciated. Okay.
Good.
Before the show started, you were kind of watching me do chores tonight.
Well, I walked around with you to see what you're going to do.
When the horses came running up to the barn, I saw you. You got on the other side of the gate. You didn't want your shoes to get dusty or, you know, whatever. But you were there. You followed me around while I did chores. You even watched me get on the four-wheeler and go way out into the pasture to bring horses up. And Ranger hung out with you, didn't
right.
she?
Yep.
For a while, then she took yep. off to catch up with me.
Right.
Okay, this is what I was telling Jim about grace and people. Is that they think that grace and a relationship with God is just so special and so odd and rare and something to be cherished and worshiped and revered. And that's just not the case. God spent every waking minute with Adam and Eve until they had feelings and thoughts that led to actions that got a reaction. Now, Enoch spent 300 years with God. Never once went in a church, a building, or a structure because there wasn't any around. And why would you need any? What would you rather do? Would you rather worship God or be with God? It's a pretty
right.
simple question.
Right.
All right. We all know in Scripture, well, hopefully we do, and I hope so, and if not, you can verify this, that the sacrifice of his son and his son's blood is like the world's greatest credit card, debit card. It paid for all of our bad choices. And that our relationship with God, the hand of God, Holy Spirit, grace, whatever you like to think of it as, is that gift. That's the point of that sacrifice. Well, that's a pretty dramatic, a very serious sacrifice. So it should be worthy of us acknowledging that gift. Now, a lot of times people ask me how I look at grace. And I say, I look at grace like the world's greatest pair of socks that somebody gave me for Christmas. When I need socks, I put the socks on. When I need gloves, I put the socks on my hands and they become gloves. When my ears are cold, I put the socks on my ears and they become earmuffs. When it's hot, I tie the socks into a knot and use them as a headband. I'm always using these socks. That's what grace is. The only limits on grace in your life is how open-minded and how creative can you be.
Right.
Because If you put limits on your imagination, if you put limits and parameters on the importance and how special God and grace is, you're missing the message of Christianity. The biggest problem that you should have is you can't figure out enough different ways to use those pair of socks.
Yes.
Because if that's your problem, then you're getting the point of grace in your life. And it seemed to... Did I do as well as I did before the show?
Yeah, I like it. And it really goes right along with what we were just reading here. That Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he goes on to say, I do not frustrate the grace of God or cancel it or keep it from being able to just flourish. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Very simply put, if we're spending all of our time trying to do all of the due diligence and everything that
there
is religious, all we do is frustrate grace, which is saying, will you use me for crying out loud? I've been here all day long, and you haven't acknowledged me.
And all this lack of acknowledgement and all this not using grace for all it's worth, that validates modern religion's ability to keep you coming back for more.
Right.
And telling you that if you don't have us, you have nothing. Just got an email, Jim, about 4 minutes ago. It says, one day recently, I was minding my own business. He asked me, what's wrong with competition? Then it hit me, him again. It's the opposite of unity. Then he said, there is no competition in the kingdom. Explains a lot of what goes on in buildings these days. Thanks for proclaiming grace. And this is from Samuel in Oregon.
That's nice.
Yeah, I like it. I like all the emails. I even like the text messages that, you know, sometimes say bad things about candy. I like that too. It says, hi Jim and BJ. Here's another one. This literally just came in, popped up on my screen. Hi Jim and BJ. The Apostle Paul said he prayed in tongues more than anyone. Could you comment on our praying in tongues and experiencing grace day to day? And this says, thanks, David.
Okay, well, I mean, real simple. We see through the Word of God, Jesus made reference to speaking in other tongues in the Great Commission. It went right along with laying hands on the sick and casting out demons, speaking in a new tongue. So it's part of this dispensation. You don't see any other dispensations doing it. Listen, I think you'll like this, and I'll just make this short. But really and truly, not only does praying in tongues have many different facets to it and wonderful things that you can experience when you are, but one of the things I really think about praying in other tongues is it's a very simplistic way for you, and it really shows you, because when you pray in other tongues, you don't always know what you're saying. It really shows you it's about the feeling. It's about the intent. It's about having a connection with God, and it's a spirit-to-spirit experience, which is going to do nothing more than build credibility into you being a spiritual being. And you really need to see it that way, because to just pray in other tongues for the sake of praying, then again you have to ask yourself the question, what am I experiencing in the whole thing? Because the beauty of every spiritual experience is it draws you closer to the connection with God. He becomes more real. He becomes more alive in your life. And I could say a whole lot more, but I think that'll suffice for what we need.
Then, folks, you still have got plenty of time for an instant text message. Remember, Jim, BJ, 69302. Also, remember the abiding presence at gmail.com. Tomorrow night, which will be the 6th of February, Jim, you're going to be at the Hardesty Regional Library in Tulsa for your Wednesday night meetings that are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the big room yet, the one that holds 200, or are you still in, the Pine Room?
Yeah, it's the Pine Room, and there's 70 seats, and we've been averaging 61, 62, right around in there, so we've always had just two or three seats left, but now, they're going great.
Now, last Wednesday, you had some pretty special things occur, right?
Yeah, it was really, really, it was one of the best sessions. In fact, people, and it wasn't...
They stood up and went, boo!
to the contrary, they actually stood up and applauded. I asked questions, and a lot of this was stimulated from my wife and I, Erin and I, talking, and she just threw out some comments about seeing things and questioning, is everyone getting this, and is it possible they might not be seeing it like you're saying it? And it brought me to really question, I wonder if they are. So I went there that night and began to ask questions. And people asked questions, for instance, where is the end of this? Where is this heading?
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
The end game.
Because it gave me an opportunity to say, every little step of you building connection or connectivity is leading you to have more of a real, vibrant and reality with God.
And that question also goes to on the theories page of
the Ranger.
The Ranger theory.
Yes.
It's like my dog. I mean, Ranger knows the difference between different screwdrivers and tools that she can hand them to me when I'm working. Ranger knows how to turn lights on and off. She knows how to open doors. If a horse bucks me off or I trip or stumble, Ranger immediately comes over and she spreads her legs and braces herself so I can use her as a way to stand up. She knows how to keep the animals on one side of the gate so I can drive through with a tractor or piece of a farm equipment or a truck. She won't let any of the horses through open gates. Well, other people, they can't get their dogs to stop scooting on the living room rug. Now, that doesn't make their dog stupid, and that doesn't mean Ranger is smart. What it means is that I spend every waking minute with Ranger.
Right.
Every day. So since Ranger was exactly 6 weeks old, every day of her life, she's had reinforcement as to what is acceptable and unacceptable behavior, and also constant reinforcement of what things are and how she's supposed to act with those. That's the difference between somebody thinking Ranger's the smartest dog they've ever had and a dog that scoots on the rug that just gets food and water and a pat on the tail once a day when everybody comes home.
You know,
it's about commitment, conviction, and activity. There is no difference with a relationship with God. But see, here's the beauty of it. This validates the individual relationship with Christ. Whether you're a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or aunt and uncle or boyfriend or girlfriend, brother, sister, cousins, it doesn't matter. You have to stop trying to cover spiritual ground equally. You have your own thoughts.
Right.
You have your own emotions. Those are the seedbed of action and reactions. There is always going to be a someone who is a little behind and someone who's a little ahead. But who cares? It's about having relationship with
That's
God.
Right. Yeah,
because you're not supposed to care, because the caring means that you're criticizing, that you're judging, that you're comparing, and that what sense does it make to stymie, slow down, or come to a grinding halt your own relationship with Christ just to walk hand in hand? It doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture.
Right.
That is just a way of controlling and corralling everybody to stay on the same page.
Right. I liked one of the things you said, and I'm going to comment about this, where you were talking about Ranger, that you would spend time during the day showing her what to do and showing her what not to do. Proper behavior and what's not proper behavior. Well, the reason why I want to bring that out is because this is something that happens if you're always spending all your time with I think you gave the phrase, the wonderments of Jesus.
Yeah.
If all your time is spent in just who you are in Christ and your righteousness and all these things, if that's all you do and you don't have a consciousness of what the world is doing to people,
right,
and what it's potentially doing to you, how the flesh hinders the spirit from taking its place, if you don't consciously know those things, then you'll take these wonderments of Christ and of Jesus and literally spin in circles while you continue to go right back into a flesh and worldly dominated life.
You know, when I was a lot younger, I used to make some pretty good money teaching horses to go to the bathroom on command. And people would say, how do you do that? And I'd say, well, if you're at a show ring with a horse and the judge thinks that you and another competitor are literally neck and neck, they can't choose who's going to be first place and who's going to be in second place. If your horse puts the brakes on to urinate, you're screwed. Because the judge will say, okay, that's my deciding factor. This horse went to the bathroom. This horse didn't. Here's your first place. Here's your second place. And they'd say, how do you do that? And I'd say, well, you pack a sleeping bag, a lunch, and you spend about 4 or 5 days, 24 hours a day with a horse. And every time they go to the bathroom, you whistle or you hum. And then the animal correlates having a bowel movement or urinating to that sound. You have, how many times have you seen me say, Ranger, go to the bathroom, and what does she do?
Uh-huh.
She goes to the bathroom.
Right.
And people say, how'd you do that? And I says, well, every time my dog goes to the bathroom, I praise her and I tell her, go potty, go to the bathroom. And she does, because she correlates the sound of my voice and the love and the praise with that physical action. It's cause and effect. For every action, there's a reaction. This, ladies and gentlemen, I just got this. I want to say this. This is a perfect example, a good metaphor for grace in your life. The more you recognize grace, the more grace there is. The more grace there is, the more grace you can use.
Sure.
And the more grace you use, the more that grace protects you and gives you positive things in your life. For every action, there's a reaction. I like that.
I like that. It's good too. Okay, do we have any more texts or any more emails?
Yeah, I was going to do a little housekeeping here. No, we don't have any more texts. And let me refresh this one machine. Okay, the text machine, we don't have any new text. This, we don't have any current emails. You want to say something to music?
I do. And this is an interesting thought here. The Apostle Paul was always bringing people back to a reminder of who they were in Christ, what Jesus did for them, and how wonderful it is to be saved. Because he wanted them to remember that this is what they have. And then Paul switched gears and said, basically, if you want to experience this, cut yourself free from the entanglements of the world. And these things, or the grace of God, will work like automatically for you. So for the individual with the high blood pressure, I thank God right now, and I just really praise the Lord that God's grace has literally taken care of your high blood pressure once and for all. You really don't have high blood pressure. And take just a moment as I pray for you that everything about God and His grace and this wonderful anointing moving through your body, causing everything about your heart and everything about the flow of your blood to be perfect in every way, is happening right now because Jesus removed everything about high blood pressure. And Father, I thank you for every person that's listening to the sound of our voice, that their minds are keen and their hearts are open, so that the things that we're sharing shall become their experience, not just tomorrow, but even tonight, every day of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that's pretty good.
Good.
Okay. Just to recap, what do you think? Did we do all right?
I think so. Again, I think that what we're saying is beginning to really sink in, because I'm going to testify, folks. Listen, I've been in the ministry for a long time, and my heart really hungered for what I knew was simple, and I knew that I was confusing the issue and making it difficult. And now I've laid hands on many, many people and prayed for folks and seen thousands of people healed. But even thousands of people healed wasn't good enough when you put the numbers together for the many thousands that weren't. So all of these things caused me to say, Lord, I'm wrong. You've got to fix me. And listen, that was my starting point for grace to begin to move in my life. And yet I've had to continue to stay with these thoughts so that it can become commonplace. And I encourage you to do the same. Don't be discouraged. Don't let frustration get in the way. My goodness, there's too much of God everywhere for you to experience. Relax and just let it happen. God really is everywhere, and He's really moving on your behalf, even right now.
Well, rumor has it.
Yes, sir.
That was good. I like that. Folks, I want to say thank you for listening to tonight's live broadcast. It's going to take me about 15, 17 minutes, and I'll have this show uploaded and streaming, and then it'll stream 24 hours, 7 days a week, until next Tuesday night's live broadcast. Now remember, you don't have to wait for the archives to listen to this week's show. It's streaming. Just go and click on listen to the show and you can hear it. Want to thank everybody for their text messages and their emails. Want you to take care of yourself and your pets. And remember, in life, grace is everywhere. Take advantage of it. Ranger, you want to say hi to Jim's mom? Say hi to Jim's mom. What do you say? Oh, don't growl, bark. Come on. What do you say? That's not very good. That wasn't very good at all. Ranger, what do you say? All right, there we go. There, yeah. Well, she's hungry. She's tired because she was running around chasing horses. Well, Jim and I are out of here. Remember, it'll be about 15, 17 minutes. I'll have tonight's broadcast up and going. And thank you so much for the show. Jim?
Good night, Mom, and I love you.
There you go. See, he does learn things at the ranch.